You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How's it going, Sooners Nation? And welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you so much for joining me. Today, David Walker is out. You can follow David on Twitter at D_walk74. You just get me, John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John Williams. And today we're going to talk a little bit about where some of the Oklahoma Sooners rank heading into 2021. We're also going to talk a little bit about where USA Today might have Oklahoma in the NCAA tournament. We talked a little bit about it on yesterday's show, where Joe Lunardi is currently ranking and projecting Oklahoma to end up in the men's basketball tournament. USA Today has a little bit different projection. We'll talk about that in the second segment. And in the third segment, we'll look for Oklahoma coming up in the third year and heading into the night that uses analytics for the NFL coverage that I provide for the Dallas Cowboys. We're covering the Dallas Cowboys for InsideTheStar.com, but also has great college football insight as well. And just like anything, you want to take any statistic with just understanding that it provides some context, or if you take some, like one player's grade or how one analyst ranks a player, you just use it with context. It's not the be all end all. Nothing is cement. Even statistics can be used to promote a particular narrative. With that being said, Kennedy Brooks, man, it's a big return. It's huge for the Oklahoma Sooners, as they missed out on Kamar Wheaton, who went to Alabama, losing Ramondre Stevenson to the NFL draft. They had a bit of a void at the running back position heading into the offseason. That was before, obviously, the transfer of Eric Gray from Tennessee. But getting Kennedy Brooks back, who opted out of the 2020 season, having him back in for 2021 is going to be huge for the Oklahoma Sooners. We know his capabilities. I mean, he's rushed for 1,000 yards in each of his two seasons with the Sooners. In 2018, he averaged 8.9 yards per carry. In 2019, 6.5 yards per carry. He's just a dynamic player. I think a lot of people underrate him, and I've talked about this before on the show, because he's not the most physically like imposing running back, if that makes sense. Like, Ramondre Stevenson, he's just like this big, physical, tough running back who's going to bowl you over, shows good agility, things like that. Or he's not a Joe Mixon that has the speed to just, as soon as he touches the ball, he's just gone. Kennedy Brooks is a little bit more deliberate, if that makes sense. Like, he's not just rushing to get through the hole. He's very patient. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't hurry himself to the line of scrimmage, through the line of scrimmage. And then to the next level, he's very patient. He finds his holes. He picks them out well. He's got great vision. But once he does find a hole, he's got very underrated speed. I mean, we saw it a couple of years ago, I can't remember if it was 2018 or 2019, where he hit that big 90-yard touchdown run and was able to just run away from guys. I think that is the guy that Kennedy Brooks is and can be. Now, it's unlikely that he's going to be a guy that sees, 200, 300 carries in a season, because as we know with Lincoln Riley, he likes to rotate his running backs. We saw it with Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine. We saw it a little bit this year as well with Seth McGowan, TJ Pledger, and Ramondre Stevenson as well. In 2019, we saw it with Ramondre Stevenson and Trey Sermon and Kennedy Brooks. Lincoln Riley likes to use a rotation of backs. And so even with Eric Gray coming in, Kennedy Brooks isn't going to be a guy that's going to see the ball 300 times or 250 times in a season, because you got a talented guy like Eric Gray coming in. You've got talented players like Marcus Major and Seth McGowan waiting in the wings as well that can take the load off of your starting running backs. But very exciting. So Kennedy Brooks, Pro Football Focus is ranking, the running backs, and I kind of buried the lead there. My apologies. But Pro Football Focus ranks Kennedy Brooks as the number three running back coming back for college football in 2021. He comes in behind Tank Bigsby out of Auburn, Kansas State's Deuce Vaughn. And we know Deuce, we know how good he is, how quickly he can cause damage both in the running and the passing game, just a dynamic football player. But then Brooks comes in at three, and here's what Pro Football Focus had to say. Brooks decided to opt. He was the third highest graded ball carry in the FBS from 2018 to 2019 and established himself as one of the top breakaway threats at the position. No FBS running back churned out 10 or more yards on a higher rate of their carries over that period than Brooks. So of his carries, 23.4% of his carries went for 10 yards or more. Let me, like almost a quarter, almost 25% of his carries went for 10 yards or more. So back in 2019, he ran the ball 155 times. 25% of those went for 10 yards or more. That's ridiculous. That is an insane amount of runs going for 10 yards or more. He's absolutely electric. You know, they say he doesn't have electrifying speed, but it's one of those, like, he's got sneaky speed. He doesn't, you know, have that burst maybe that a Deuce Vaughn does, but he's got enough speed that he can run away from people. And so I think that's the thing that, you know, underrates Kennedy Brooks a lot. And especially in, you know, in the minds of even a lot of Sooners fans, I think they don't maybe appreciate how good and how really I think he's great Kennedy Brooks in. One of the surprises on this list, though, is that Kennedy Brooks comes in ahead of Iowa State's Breece Hall. And if you're a fan of the show, if you listen to this show, you've heard me rave about Breece Hall as well. He, another fantastic running back. It did surprise me a little bit to see that Brooks was ranked ahead of Breece Hall on this list. But again, I think Kennedy Brooks is great. Pro Football Focus thinks Kennedy Brooks is great. And I'm really excited about having him back for the 2021 football season. I think with him and Spencer Rattler in the backfield, you added Eric Gray, you got Seth McGowan, we've got Marcus Major. That running back room looks really, really good all of a sudden. I know, I think heading into the offseason, I think people may have been a little bit concerned about that with Ramondre going to the NFL, missing out on Kamar Wheaton. But with Brooks, Gray, Marcus Major, Seth McGowan, this is a team that's got a really, really good set of running backs, and it's very deep. You know, Brooks is the lead guy. I think he's going to start the season as the starter, and he'll get a bulk of the carries, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to carry the ball 20, 25 times a game. But you don't want him to either, because when you have good backs, you want to be able to keep them fresh. And the fresher they are, the better they are, in my opinion. You don't want a full rotation where you're only giving Kennedy Brooks, you know, maybe 8 to 10 carries a game. You still want him to get 15 carries a game, maybe 20 touches a game with some catches as well, or some targets. But you don't want to necessarily pound away on your guys. You want to keep them fresh because it's a long season at times. And, you know, if you want to get to the national championship, you want to play in the college football playoff and have some success, you're going to need guys like that to continue to be fresh and play well. And so very excited to get Kennedy Brooks back. We'll talk more about him as the off season and we get into spring ball and we hear reports of how he's looking coming back from his layoff. I'm sure he's been keeping in shape. It's going to be really exciting to have him back. But coming up next, we are going to talk a little bit about the Oklahoma men's basketball team, where USA Today has them projected heading into the final stretch of the regular season and Big 12 play, where they're looking at landing in the NCAA tournament. And it's a little bit different from Joe Lunardi's projection. So we'll talk about that coming up next. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about Built Bar. You've heard us talk about Built Bar on the show for months. Since we started the show, we've talked about Built Bar. I'm a big fan of Built Bar. You've heard David talk about Built Bar. It is literally the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's the best tasting protein bar I've ever had. I played sports growing up. I played sports in college, and you needed protein bars at times to kind of keep you energized, keep you fueled. And I could never find a protein bar that I really, really liked. You know what I mean? Like, there were times that instead of getting a protein bar for practice or having, you know, for halftime midway through the game, that I'd just eat a Snickers because I'd get a little bit of protein, I'd get that sugar kick, and it would just taste better than if I got something else. Well, that's not the case with Built Bar. Built Bar is legitimately delicious. It is fantastic. It's a protein bar, but it tastes like a candy bar. You don't get that gritty, grimy feeling or flavor, that aftertaste that you get from a lot of protein bars, but it does have a high protein count. Most of their bars have 18 grams of protein and only 4 or 5 grams of sugar. Again, it's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's 100% covered in chocolate. They've got 18 flavors. You can mix and match. And then right now, this week, they've got a special flavor that they've released. It is coconut brownie chunk. Now, I've had this a couple times now, and it is amazing. It's fantastic. You get bits of brownie that top the protein bar. Again, this thing is 100% covered in chocolate. You got the chocolate chunk brownies. Excellent. I highly recommend you go to builtbar.com. Make sure you use our promo code locked on and save 20% off your order at builtbar.com. For the best tasting protein bar on the market, go to builtbar.com and get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah, and so coming up in the third segment, we're going to spend a little bit of time touching base on the recruiting efforts of the Oklahoma Sooners and where they're heading into 2022. We've talked a lot about 2021 and where they stand now. Obviously, a great class, a top 10 class. But 2022 is shaping up to be potentially even better as things stand right now. We'll talk about that in the third segment. But now, let's talk a little about college basketball and where the Oklahoma Sooners stand heading into the final stretch of the regular season. And the Oklahoma Sooners are looking really good. You know, just a few games left in the Big 12. They currently are third in the standings. And, you know, we talked about Joe Lunardi's projections for the Big 12 or the NCAA tournament yesterday on Tuesday's show. And Joe Lunardi currently has them projected as a four seed, the third ranked four seed, if that makes sense, just ahead of West Virginia in the round of 64. And that's pretty good. You know, if you're a four seed in the NCAA tournament, you've had a pretty good season. Obviously, it's not a one seed, which would be the ideal, but it's probably very unlikely that they'll end up with a one seed unless they just go on a run and end up beating all these teams in the Big 12. But still, I find it highly unlikely just based on the fact they got five losses. But, you know, they are third in the Big 12 and they're playing really good basketball now. They've got their guys back. They got Austin Reeves back and they're playing well. They're shooting the ball well. They're playing good defense. But USA Today, their bracketology currently has Oklahoma featured as a third seed, which would be great in the Midwest region with a matchup against 14 seed Texas State. And that would be fantastic if Oklahoma could be in the Midwest region. It would not necessarily be home court advantage, but it would set them up with much simpler travel to be in the Midwest as opposed to having to go out to the West Coast or to the East Coast and play some games. But it's kind of neat to see that Oklahoma is potentially as good as a three seed in this. You know, they've got big wins. They've played really good basketball over the year. And this is a team that is on the right track. You know, they just need to continue to win. They have more opportunities this week to keep building their resume and keep providing an opportunity for these analysts and these prognosticators to more solidify where they stand in the NCAA tournament and where they're going to be. And so, yeah, right now they're lined up to be a third seed or maybe a fourth seed. I think at worst they're a fourth seed unless they just they just bomb the rest of their schedule and, you know, have a poor showing in the Big 12 tournament. But as far as the schedule goes and as far as this team kind of having a slide, I just don't see it. They just play too well. They're playing too good of basketball and they're playing really well together right now. Patrick Kahn over at Sooners Wire, the managing editor over there, kind of laid out their schedule. And this coming up Saturday, they got West Virginia. They go to Morgantown to play West Virginia. Then they got Texas on the 16th. And then they got Iowa State again on the 20th, Kansas State on the 23rd, Oklahoma State on the 25th. Oklahoma State on the 27th. I mean, a lot of winnable games for Oklahoma. There's not a game in there that's a loss. You know, they got six games left and all six of those games are winnable games. So they could very well find themselves sitting second in the conference by the time it's all said and done. And that would be great for them if they could be the number two seed heading into the Big 12 tournament. It would just help give them a leg up a little bit, give them maybe a bit more favorable matchup, put them opposite of Baylor in the bracket. They wouldn't have to face Baylor until they got to the semifinals if they were able to get that far. But yeah, Oklahoma's sitting in a really, really nice position heading down the stretch. And they just got to keep winning games, keep playing good defense, keep shooting. They're going to have to tighten up their defense from what we saw against Iowa State. Now that Iowa State is a little bit better than what their record indicates. And, you know, they were hitting a lot of good shots. But yeah, Oklahoma's going to have to be a little bit tighter than that. But if they continue to play together the way that they played on Saturday against Iowa State, passing the ball well, finding open men, making the extra pass, and you know, using their dribble penetration to their benefit, because that's really where they're at their best, is when they dribble, drive, and then kick out, is when they're really, really good. If they're just kind of passing the ball around, not really trying to penetrate, I feel like they settle for shots at times. But when this team is using its motion well, because they love to run that motion offense, when they use that motion well and they're able to use it to dribble penetrate as opposed to settle for kind of contested 20-foot jump shots, then you know, if they're able to penetrate, that's when they're at their best. And having Austin Reeves back, another guy who can handle the ball well, can pass well, it's just only going to benefit them down the stretch. So Oklahoma, USA Today currently projecting them as a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. Again, we talked about it on yesterday's show. Joe Lunardi has them projected as a 4 seed. So we'll see what happens. I mean, if they can get to number 2 in the conference, go on a run in the Big 12 tournament, potentially they could find themselves as high as a 2 seed. You never know. I mean, they have the opportunity to rise in those rankings as things stand right now, because they've got 6 winnable games left on their schedule. I mean, Texas is probably going to be the toughest one, but in Oklahoma State, that'll be a tough matchup as well. Heading to Morgantown to play West Virginia will be tough, but these are teams that they've beaten and they can do it again. So big things happening for Oklahoma basketball. We're excited. We'll continue talking about it here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. So make sure you are subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. But coming up in the next segment, we'll spend some time talking recruiting. We'll talk about the big announcement from Verlik Brown, where that keeps or where that has Oklahoma in the 2022 rankings, here next on the Locked On Sooners podcast. But let me tell you a little bit about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today. If you use our promo code LOCKEDON, you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And betting on college basketball, the NBA, the NHL, doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. And now let's talk a little bit about Verlik Brown. The Sooners on Friday got a big commitment, and we hadn't had a chance to talk about this yet, and we've kind of been focusing on some other things, but we've got to talk about Verlik Brown heading to the Sooners, committed to joining them in 2022, the top running back in the 2022 class, 5-star running back, connected to Joe Mixon, a big get for the Oklahoma Sooners. And it really helps to solidify their draft or their recruiting class so far in 2022. A couple different sources have them ranked in the top 5 of their recruiting classes. And yes, we talked about this on the show the other day, how you know the star ratings, they only can carry you so far if you're an individual player. And it doesn't really matter what star rankings you have once you get these guys on campus. It matters how you develop and what you do with them once you get them there. And Oklahoma's done a really good job at developing talent. You know, they've been able to take 3- and 4-star guys and develop them into NFL players. And getting those 5-star guys, it just puts them ahead of the curve. You know, these are guys that got talent and they come in with talent. And so the learning curve and the growth curve doesn't have to be as sharp as it is for some of these other players. But a guy like Verlik Brown, who can solidify your running back room or add to your running back room in 2022 and 2023, maybe you know taking the load in 2023, is going to be huge, because you know we talked about it in the first segment. Kennedy Brooks is back for 2021, but then he's probably headed to the NFL in 2022. And then what do you got? Well, you've got Seth McGowan. You've got Marcus Major, and potentially you have Mikey Henderson. But you don't really have a guy that, you know, comes in with much pizzazz. And so you have a Verlik Brown who could come in and potentially compete for a job in 2022. You know, they're going to have their 2021 guys that are going to, you know, make some noise and have a say in where this team is headed at the running back position in 2022. But Verlik Brown, you know, he's got the talent. much like a Joe Mixon did, who could have come in and been competitive and competing for snaps early in his career, but had to sit out. But it helps to know that Malik Brown is coming to Norman. It helps them have a good idea of where they're headed at the position. And if they don't do anything else at the position between now and, you know, fall of 2022, they've got a guy that's got a ton of talent who could be the lead back for them that season or the next if they need him to be. And it just, again, it goes to show just how good of a recruiter Lincoln Riley is. But you also got to give an assist to Joe Mixon. Apparently these are, you know, this is a team that has benefited from some of their former players, you know, and Adrian Peterson. But then also you get Joe Mixon out there, you know, using his connections and getting Malik Brown to commit to Oklahoma. And obviously there's a lot of things that are at play as to why a commit would go to Oklahoma. But if you're a young kid and you're looking at wanting to play high level offensive football and potentially find yourself heading to the NFL, there are very few places in college football that could better prepare you for the NFL than Oklahoma. You might be able to say like Alabama is the only one that has consistently produced offensive talent at a rate that Oklahoma has, and not just at the quarterback position, but also along the offensive line, the running back position, wide receivers. I feel like those two teams consistently produce elite level talent that heads to the NFL, that gets drafted in the first few rounds of the NFL draft. And that's why kids are coming to Oklahoma. You know, a lot of people think it's, I don't know, people have their narratives as to why Oklahoma doesn't do so well in certain areas, or I don't know. The recruiting thing, the whole recruiting debate is interesting, you know, because people, they see these kids decide to go to Alabama or go to Clemson or go to one of the bigger school, you know, another bigger school, maybe like a Texas A&M, who's kind of hot right now because of their finish in the top 25 polls this last year. But Oklahoma is always going to be in the mix on these guys. You pick an elite offensive player, a 4 or 5 star offensive player, and Oklahoma is going to be in the mix. It's just inevitable because of how good they've been offensively for the last 5-6 years under Lincoln Riley. And even going back before that, under Josh Heupel, they were still one of the better offenses in the country. But they can pretty much continue to retool and reload at the offensive positions every year as long as Lincoln Riley is the head coach at Oklahoma, because teams see the success rate that they're having, not just in college, but also getting these guys to the next level in the NFL. Just think of a few years back when they had 4 or 5 offensive linemen drafted. Think of CeeDee Lamb and Marquise Brown playing on the same field together. Mark Andrews getting drafted in the 3rd round, although he should have been a 1st round if you'd asked me my opinion back then. You know, the quarterback position, obviously, but they're constantly getting guys that, you know, they're good. They're really good. And college players, they're great college players, but that greatness is translating to the NFL. We're seeing Marquise Brown make plays on Sundays. We're seeing CeeDee Lamb light up the NFL in his rookie season. And these recruits see that. These recruits see, hey, Oklahoma, it's not just a place that, you know, gets talent and that talent stagnates. It develops players. And I'm good now, but I also want to get better. And that's a place where I can go and get better. So really exciting. Malik Brown coming to the Sooners. Yeah, a big hit, 5-star player. And it's going to continue to snowball for the Sooners. They're going to continue to be able to build on these recruiting classes year in and year out. And if things go as well as many people think they can go in 2021, you know, we haven't laid out our predictions yet, but there's a lot of people that think that Oklahoma has a great shot at winning the national championship in 2021. And if they're able to do that, it's going to help them so much more on the recruiting trail, because they're going to be able to say, we overcame these college football playoff losses and found ourselves back in the college football playoff and actually did something with it this time. And it's going to be perfect timing for them as they continue to build these recruiting classes. Hey, but that's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. Again, my name is John Williams, and for my partner, David Walker, Boomer Sooner.